How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan. Today we are going to be talking a little bit about something that I recently learned about and I thought was pretty interesting. So I figured, you know, I'd give it a discussion on here. So first off, I guess we can start. I was looking at on the stand. History is a thing I like to do every now and then, and there were some interesting things on this day in history today. So I figured, you know, might as well share, right? Today, in 1811, the first U.S. colonist, not the one I was looking for, my bad. In 1861, the Battle of Fort Sumter took place in South Carolina. It was attacked by the Confederacy, and it was the beginning of the Civil War. The Civil War started today in 1861. In 1872, on this day in history, Jesse James gang robs a bank of 1,500 in Columbia, Kentucky, and killed one. Those are the two interesting things that I found in there, so I figured I'd just share with everybody because I'm a history nerd. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. If you guys have anything to share, go ahead and call, by the way. The phone number is 740-383-9944. I am here by myself today for the first time in, I think, in all my shows, honestly. Either this one might be my first or maybe my first one. But I wanted to talk about the fact that a while back there was a guy who was democratically elected to be Prime Minister of Australia. His name was His name was Whitlam. Go Whitlam. I don't know. It's a hard one to pronounce, but interesting name. But anyways, this guy was democratically elected to be the Prime Minister of Australia, and he was a pretty popular guy, as you would assume, being, you know, elected. But so the CIA has this I'll start first. So the CIA at the time, according to Whitlam, had a lot of influence in Australia and in the government. And this Whitlam guy didn't like it. As a matter of fact, Go Whitlam, the Prime Minister, had said that he actually ordered a raid on the Australian intelligence agency headquarters because he thought that they were working for the CIA. And I do believe that he had found people that were working, I don't know if they were working directly for, but they were working, like, with the CIA, but either way, there was a guy, who worked in the government as well named John Kerr, and his job is the Governor General, and the Governor General, the only thing it can do, to my knowledge, is dismiss the Prime Minister, and it's a ceremonial position, and that's the only thing you can do, really. So, Whitlam, the Prime Minister, had determined that he thought that the government was basically answering to the CIA, and he did not like this, so he wanted to take back control of the government, you know, understandably, being, you know, the Prime Minister and elected. But he wanted to take back control of the government, so he ordered you know, the raids on the intelligence agency and a whole bunch of other things. But he told the United States to stay out of Australian affairs, essentially. And the United States didn't like that very much, so they ordered John Kerr, working with the CIA, to release him. So John Kerr basically fired the democratically elected Prime Minister for Australia due to the fact that he just didn't like the United States. But the main reason this came across was because John Kerr told the United States that if they didn't stop meddling in Australian affairs, that he was going to cancel the Pine Gap lease. So Pine Gap is an Australian-American intelligence base and the outback somewhere in Australia, but it's one of the most top secret bases that the CIA has, and so the CIA did not take kindly to that, because they took it as a threat that they were gonna, you know, get rid of the one of the most important bases they have. So they ordered John Kerr to release the man. He was fired. And then they put in a guy who was pro-American. And since then, nobody has questioned the United States and Canada. And recently, there was this YouTuber named Boy, who tried to break into the base for some reason. And that was a thing on YouTube. That's what actually got me interested in this whole thing. But yeah, so this whole thing took place in the 1960s, I do believe. When Litlin came to power, he didn't like the fact that there were Australian troops in Vietnam, so he, you know, removed them. And he criticized the United States, if I'm not mistaken, because they were doing some bombing of things that I guess he didn't like. So he had... You know, I think I should have my notes better organized, honestly. But, anyways. They had criticized the United States for bombing Vietnam in the 70s. Oh, look at that, not the 60s. But, so they complained, or they used, like, diplomatic channels to basically try to get the United States to stop doing these things. And here we go. In March of 1973, U.S. Secretary of State William Rogers told Richard Nixon that the leftists within the Labor Party would try to throw overboard all military alliances and eject our highly classified U.S. defense space installations from Australia. And then in 1973, this is actually the thing I was talking about where he ordered a raid on his own thing. So, in 73, Whitlam, he had ordered the Australian Security Organization, ASIS, it looks like, to go to Chile, to work, and it was working as a proxy for the CIA, in opposition to the current Chilean president. I'll have to come back to this some other time. I think I don't have my stuff organized well enough. But, anyways. This weekend, or not this weekend, I guess it was over the last 4 days or so, we went to Philadelphia. The Philadelphia trip was good. We ended up going to WrestleMania. Wrestling is not my thing, but, I mean, honestly, for somebody who didn't like wrestling, it was incredible. The WWE does put on quite a spectacle there. Like I had said in the... Oh, we got a call here. Maybe if it'll work? Oh, go ahead and call back if that was you for some reason. It didn't... Let me...
Are you there, Matt?
Oh, there we go. How's it going?
It's going. Hey, I like your topic, man.
Sorry, I was struggling a bit with my notes here. I don't think I organized them well enough or don't have them, I don't know, I guess written down enough. I tried
to... Have you listened to Eisenhower's farewell address?
You know, I'm sure I have. I've listened to a lot of the speeches from World War II era generals and things like that. They're quite interesting.
Well, listen to that, and that will tell you everything you need to know about the military-industrial complex and the intelligence agencies like the CIA.
I mean, speaking of the military complex, have you heard about the whole Boeing incident where they had a whistleblower who got shot? Well, I guess he didn't get shot. It was supposedly a suicide.
He got suicided. Yeah, right before he was supposed to testify.
Yeah.
Of all their quality assurance, like, breaches, and they're having all kinds of, if you research all the problems that Boeing is having with their plane orders can watch a video on that where the housing, like all the sheet metal and everything around one of the jet engines, like just starts peeling off as the plane is taking off, and you know, all kind of problems. Well, this guy had worked for Boeing for I think around 40 years. He was one of the most senior quality inspectors that the company had, and he was, you know, telling the world, or trying to, about all the things that they were covering up in the company. And I think like a week before he was scheduled to testify, he'd found...
I think he was getting ready to give his third deposition.
Yeah, right. But I think it was like a more substantive, you know, part of the case.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's found shot, and he told, like, friends and family, like, how much danger he felt that he was in, and that he would never kill himself.
Yeah, he on national television, I do believe there's a clip of him saying that he would never kill himself, but, he was found in the front seat of his truck with the suicide note. I had brought this up to Scott and Carrington, and, they didn't seem to think that it was, I mean, all that big of a deal. I had brought up the fact that they were using scrap metal for their planes, and Carrington was like, oh, I mean, honestly, it sounds like they're, you know, recycling to me. I mean, you know, planes are one of the safest ways to travel. And I was like, I don't think you understand.
No, they don't understand. And most people try to downplay any type of sinister motives, you know, amongst our government or intelligence agencies. But again, for anybody that doubts it, just go back to when David Eisenhower was leaving office, and he takes the opportunity to give a speech to the American people about the dangers of the military-industrial complex, to include the intelligence agencies. And then fast forward 3 years, and then what happens? You have President John F. Kennedy that gets assassinated, more than likely by U.S. intelligence.
I mean, I think overall, me and my friend, one of my friends, talk about things like this a lot, and he is under the assumption that the United States has set up essentially like a, it sounds kind of crazy, but he said that they have set up essentially like a shadow empire of sorts. Like, the CIA essentially runs a whole lot of, like, smaller places by, you know, just, I guess, proxy of the, whoever's in charge.
Well, exactly, and that's why... You know, with all the problems, now you can love him or hate him, Donald Trump, you know, when Trump was, you know, speaking out against some of the, like the FBI and some of the other intelligence agencies in the country, and Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer from New York, who is one of the most senior senators in Congress, you know, he says, well, you know, he's messing with the intelligence agencies, and they can screw you over six ways to Sunday. So, there's that awareness. I mean, people in the know the power and influence that the intelligence agencies have, and that they've had ever since World War II. I mean, that's when it was really founded, you know, as the OSS, Office of Strategic Services, which became the Central Intelligence Agency, and then they created the NSA, the National Security Agency. And just like today, what did Congress, you know, just pass renewal of? Was the FISA court warrantless surveillance of Americans? So you don't have to go... These intelligence agencies can surveil you without a court warrant, which is completely contrary to Fourth Amendment protections, and there's nothing that anybody can do about it, and you don't even know about it. So the amount of power that they have in this country and the influence and power that they have in other countries, like Australia, in that example with the Whitlam government and what they did to him on getting him dismissed, you know, how many more examples do you need?
Another one of my favorite examples of that actually is the banana republics in South America. There was an uprising when Eisenhower was actually in office, and I wouldn't call it an uprising, it was more of a strike amongst the banana workers, but the banana companies essentially came to Dwight Eisenhower. It was in the midst of, the Red Scare, and they were like, look, man, they're trying to unionize, and they essentially had played it off as they're trying to turn it into a communist society down there, so Eisenhower had essentially told the Honduran government to, I think the words were, basically deal with it, or we're going to deal with it. So the Honduras government ended up sending in their military to deal with the strike, and they were told to, I do believe the quote is, spare no bullets. And they murdered men, women, and children who were on strike because they wanted one less hour a day of work and one day off a week because they were working 7 days a week, and I think it was 10-hour days. They wanted 9-hour days and 6 days a week.
Yeah, and they're, you know, Like you said, there's many, many examples of that. And you'll find the more and more that you delve into it, it is a blending of the power of government with the power of big corporations. And what is that defined as, Matt? When you have government and big business that are working in tandem with each other, what is that defined as?
Is it not?
It's defined as fascism.
Oh, fascism? I thought fascism is unity through nationality. It's kind of like ultra jingoistic.
No, it's the blending of government and corporate power. And it was defined by Benito Mussolini, who was the original fascist. That's where fascism originated. It was in Mussolini's Italy. But he defined it himself as the blending of government power and corporate power. And that's what we have. I mean, we have a lot of things. It's not just that. We have a technocracy. We have an oligarchy. We have many other ocracies, I guess. But one of the key elements is corporate power and the power of the federal government.
You know, one of the things that surprises me the most is how willing a lot of people were to give up a lot of sensitive information. Like, after 9/11 happened, the Patriot Act, we learned about the Patriot Act in school, how we essentially gave the government rights to just collect a whole bunch of private information about citizens and whatnot, so they could, for public security reasons. And I thought that was the craziest thing I've ever heard, honestly. Because, we had also learned the same year, because I was in Wars and Foreign Policy, so it just started, basically American Wars. But, one of my favorite quotes from the class that I had learned comes from, Ben Franklin, and it's, I looked it up. It's they that can give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And it seems to me that's what they did. They gave up their personal information and privacy, private security, so they could, essentially feel safer. And in turn, they turned it into a little more of a security state.
Well, exactly. I mean, the amount of power that the U.S. federal government assumed after 9/11 was unprecedented. And, not only with all in the name of countering terrorism. So I know you probably weren't born then. But, all you saw on television was all this war on terror, on all the television stations, and stoking fear, if we don't do this.
I mean, I think they still do that a lot. I think that, for the most part, a lot of times, fear is what gets sold, because if you, they want you to, if you're scared, you're more willing to do things that you wouldn't be willing to do if you were in a safe, comfortable position.
Exactly. It makes people react emotionally, and that's the key to getting people where you want them, is if they are emotional. Fear is one of the best motivators as far as emotion and emotional reaction goes. You don't want people thinking logically. or rationally or analytically to say, wait a minute, you know, even if this was an attack, like, is it worth giving up the freedom and liberty of movement and finance and everything else of the American people, of 300 million people?
Also, and, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Are you the one who suggested that I look up Edward Bernays a while back?
I was, Matt, of course.
I thought so. I did end up looking him up after the thing. He's quite an interesting fellow.
He was the father of
propaganda,
mass manipulation and propaganda. And, you know, when you think about psychoanalysis, and if you take a psychology 101 course in any university in this country, you're going to learn about his brother-in-law, Sigmund Freud. And, you know, if you do get into the intelligence agencies, you know, that's a key component in learning of Bernays. So they're very good, and they've got this down. And it's not just the CIA, you know, it's the Mossad, the CIA and Mossad in Israel, which is their intelligence agency, work in tandem with one another. And
what do you think about them? What do you think about Israel's Mossad? Back when Hamas launched the missiles that like hit a whole bunch of civilian targets, they were criticized because they have one of the best intelligence agencies in the world, and they somehow did not manage to see this coming, as per it was put.
Think about that. Are you familiar with the term false flag?
I am, yes.
Exactly. So you've got Israel, which pretty much is one of the most, I mean, that's the world's capital of intelligence gathering. They have, there's a system called Palantir. So you can look up Palantir, and it's basically a data collection across the globe that is funneled into Israel through this system, Palantir. They also have the Iron Dome. The Iron Dome is the world's most advanced.
I was watching some videos of that thing in action, and it's incredible.
Yeah. So they've got the Iron Dome. They have the Mossad, they have Palantir, they have the world's, you know, foremost intelligence capital. And Gaza itself is basically an open-air concentration camp. So it's about 130 square miles, approximately, which is, you went to River Valley.
Yes.
That's about the land area of River Valley School District. And you've got about 9 million people. River Valley School District has about 16,000. So imagine 9 million people packed into an area the size of River Valley School District. And there's a big wall around it. And those Palestinians can't leave that area. It's very difficult to get in and out of Gaza. So it's pretty much, it's one of the most impoverished parts of the world. You've got all those massive people. There's a big wall around it. Israel has all these intelligence radars. One Israeli, I think he was a Mossad chief, said that if a mouse farts in Gaza, we know about it. So you're telling me that you didn't know about this alleged attack on October 7th? I find that very hard to believe. What has that enabled them to do? It has enabled them to declare all-out war on Gaza and to bomb it indiscriminately. They've successfully destroyed 30 hospitals, and there's been numerous occasions where international aid has been dropped in, and when the starving civilians are going over and trying to get the supplies, Israel's bombing them. So you think about what what's the ultimate outcome going to be? Well,
I do believe there were Israel officers who were terminated, fired, something like that, for the bombings of the aid convoys.
They're continuing to do it, Matt. They're continuing to do it. It's and they're unapologetic with it. Benjamin Netanyahu, their prime minister, you know, has said we are going to purge Amalek. And if you research the Old Testament, which is the basis, that's the Torah, which is the basis of, you know,
Judaism,
essentially, even though a lot of them, have, you know, follow the Talmud, which is, you know, a little bit later and based on rabbinical opinions and whatnot. They equate the Palestinians with the Old Testament's Amalek, you know, one of their natural enemies. And Netanyahu said as much, and that they need to be liquidated. So, you know, the other thing you can look on into that, have you heard about the red heifer?
I don't think so.
Okay, research the red heifer. So it goes into biblical prophecy, Jewish biblical prophecy, where there have, in order to usher in the Messiah, it has been prophesied that the 10th iteration of the red heifer, and it has to be a red cow, a heifer, a female cow, you know, a cow that has not given birth, that's what they call a heifer, who is perfect, who's never had the yoke on it, no blemishes. The 10th red heifer in Israel's history, when that appears and is sacrificed on the Temple Mount, well, the Mount of Olives, which is adjacent to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, they will sacrifice it, and that will usher in the coming of the Messiah and the rebuilding of Solomon's Temple. So they imported a number of red heifers from Texas here about a year ago, and they have declared that they have found the red heifer, which will be the 10th red heifer to be sacrificed. And they are planning on sacrificing it on the Mount of Olives this year. So, according to them, in their biblical prophecy, once that is done, and they sacrifice this red heifer, then that will be ushering in the Messianic Age. Oh. Is it a coincidence that they're doing this crazy operation in Gaza? No.
So you think it's all just a religious war then?
Yes. I think that they have their ideas on what biblical prophecy means, and they are doing what they can to facilitate it.
What do you know about Edward Snowden?
He was a hero.
I've been watching some videos about Edward Snowden. He's a interesting fellow.
He was a hero. I mean, this country, we used to value whistleblowers, and that's why we allegedly put in place protections, you know, for whistleblowers. If there was wrongdoing in a corporation or a government agency, and somebody came forth and said, hey, this is going on, and it's not right, it's against the law, then the American people and the institutions said we need to protect them from retaliation. And that didn't happen with Edward Snowden.
Do you think anything changed?
What's that?
So do you think anything changed?
No, it's gotten worse. I mean, look at what they did to Julian Assange. You know, Julian Assange is being basically tortured, you know, until he dies. He was a WikiLeaks guy. And again, It's not like he made things up. He was just putting information that was given to him out there that implicated a lot of very powerful people. So Julian Assange was arrested. Well, first they, you know, had to create some allegations against him for sexual, you know, I don't know if it was rape or something. It wasn't, I don't think, like, you know, hardcore rape, but sexual assault or something. So they had some women come forward and say that, you know, he did XYZ, and then they get him under that, and that way they don't have to say that they arrested him for, you know, putting out all this sensitive information that harmed global intelligence agencies, you know, and now he's rotting away in a prison cell. And Snowden would be the same way if he didn't escape, you know, to Russia. And it's the same thing with, Ashley,
A lot of people think that Snowden went to Russia because he was selling, documents to Russia.
Well, I mean, a lot of those people would say a lot of worse things about Snowden. Of course, they're going to, you know, engage in slander and defamation against the man, you know, but in the end, like, the information that he put forth was truthful, and it implicated our government, and they went after him. And if you hear some of the, you know, people talk about Assange and Snowden and, you know, some of these other whistleblowers, you know, they have hatred for him, you know, because it's a threat. They want to keep the masses, like, completely oblivious to the reality of what's going on.
All right, a little bit off topic here, but do you remember a while back when there was a dude who had said that there is a whole... I wish I could remember his name. There was a guy who had came out, and he said that there was a whole branch basically buried somewhere in the government that's whole thing was just UFO research. It was very recent. There was one a while back, but this one was recent, like a year or two ago.
As far as, like...
It was...
Oh, yeah, they're coming out.
I do believe this was the one where the government was basically forced to release anything that didn't involve, or anything that wasn't a national security threat involving UFOs.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what I think about that. The fact that they've kind of done a 180 makes me suspicious.
Well,
so you go from denial and suppression to, like, them embracing it.
So I was actually doing, for, I don't remember why, but for a minute there I was doing research on, because I think it was crop circles. I thought crop circles were intriguing, so I was looking at crop circles, and I came across this video where these two people had said that they were the ones that made the crop circles, and it was basically a thing proving them wrong, because, like, they did recreations of some of the crop circles, and they did look good, but they weren't perfectly symmetric like the crop circles you saw at, you know, the actual crop circles. So the video had, it basically went into depth and like back in history, and there used to be a whole branch of science dedicated to, like, UFO research, and people would, like, go to school so they could, like, become basically, like, astronomers for UFOs, or I don't know what the title would be, but, like, that was a whole, like, profession. But then all of a sudden, the government got involved, and then there was a guy, man, I need names. I wish I could remember names better. There was this dude who was doing a broadcast, and they had this whole field blocked off because they were trying to see if there could be a crop circle there. And then one morning, or one time late at night, he was woke up because there was something there, and he went, and it was a board game. And then it basically humiliated him and made UFO, anybody who believed in UFOs look like a goofball, essentially. And then all of a sudden, it basically discredited any research into UFO science, and it kind of just died there. But apparently, this is when the government picked up its UFO research.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they do. You know, they create some scenario that discredits anything legitimate. That way they can use the media to, you know, get the masses to be skeptical. So that's how they work.
You believe in aliens?
Depends on what you define as an alien.
Extraterrestrials.
I mean, is there life on other planets? Yes. How advanced is that life? I mean, are there amoebas and protozoa and, you know, they're what we would consider to be, like, simple life forms? Oh, most certainly there is. Are there advanced civilizations? I don't know. What do you think?
Personally, I do. I don't think that there's necessarily any advanced forms of life. I think that the universe is too vast for there to not be other life forms. But I think other life forms are kind of just like us, and they also wonder if there's advanced life forms out there.
Yeah, I mean the universe is so vast. So to say with confidence, you know, statistically speaking, you would think that there would be. I mean, with how vast the universe is, to say that there is some other form of life that is at least as advanced as us, you know, statistically speaking, you would probably say yes. But there's most certainly, you know, simple life forms, you know, and other planets, for sure. There's no question about that.
I think aliens are an interesting concept. I don't know why people are so, I guess, intrigued by the concept of extraterrestrial life. I guess it's just because space is interesting, because it's so uncharted.
Yeah, it's the unknown, you know, and the whole idea that this isn't it, you know, that there'll be another frontier for humanity, because if this is it, this is our last frontier, and there's nothing else, the prospects for the future aren't very good with how we've displayed ourselves.
I'd have to agree with that.
So what other interesting conspiratorial topics are you interested in, Matthew?
Oh, man. I love shady things that the government does. It's just super interesting to me for some reason. So basically anything that involves the CIA, tends to be pretty shady a lot of the times. Same thing with the NSA. But I also like conspiracy theories. Conspiracy theories are good.
So who killed Kennedy?
You know, I'm inclined to believe. I mean, I don't know. I think that there's. It's hard to tell, because all the evidence points towards, I can't even think of his name right now.
Lyndon Johnson?
Yes, yeah. But I don't necessarily think he did it because of the whole, like, the magic bullet thing. It just doesn't make sense. Also, there's the whole thing where supposedly you can hear two shots. Also, I mean, I'm also biased because I think I brought it up on here before that my grandpa, when I was growing up, I asked him about JFK. He said that he was such a good president that the CIA killed him.
Well, if you research statements that Kennedy made in 1963, so in the months leading up to his assassination, he spoke out against the intelligence agencies, meaning, you know, primarily the CIA, because the CIA was heavily implicated in...
He was after Cuba. Eisenhower, correct, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yep,
yeah.
He was after Eisenhower. So, he spoke out. Not only did they view him as betraying them at the Bay of Pigs in Cuba, but he spoke out against the CIA and said that he wanted to essentially dismantle the CIA. So that was a clear threat to their power, because Kennedy was hugely popular and very charismatic. So when you have somebody that has popular support, and Kennedy was a very intelligent, very capable man, and you have somebody that, like that, that, you know, has made threats against your organization, then, yeah, you really can't tolerate him being around. And it's the same thing with the Federal Reserve. Are you familiar much with the Federal Reserve, Matt?
I honestly do not know anything about the Federal Reserve.
Okay, you need to. There's a book called The Creature of Jekyll Island by Griffith. You need to read that. That will give you much of a foundational base of knowledge to understand what has transpired over the past 100 years and continues to transpire. So the Federal Reserve is a private group of bankers that run our monetary policy for the United States. So they're the ones that set the federal funds rate. So when you hear, oh, the Fed lowered rates or the Fed increased rates, when they say the Fed, it's the Federal Reserve. If you pull out, do you have a dollar bill on you?
I do, I think. Let's see here.
All right, pull it out.
Alrighty. Alright, I got it.
What does it say at the top?
Federal Reserve note.
Right. So they print our money. So they are a group of private bankers that run our monetary policy and print our money. The Treasury does not. It's a Federal Reserve note. And Kennedy said before he was assassinated, spoke out against the Federal Reserve, which was founded in 1913 at Jekyll Island off the coast of Georgia. So he was speaking out against the intelligence agencies and the bankers, the central bankers. So he had many enemies. So in my, and Johnson was just a beneficiary. He was just the man that benefited from them assassinating, and Johnson would play ball. Johnson was a horrible, horrible president and an evil man, not a good man at all. So I don't think that Johnson, like, he was maybe involved in some of the, because he was from Texas. So when they killed Kennedy in Texas, I'm sure that he facilitated some of that. But the main players were more than likely the intelligence agencies and the central bankers.
One of my friends introduced me to this theory that the CIA is currently running the United States. I'm like a shadow government kind of thing.
Well, there's definitely a shadow government. I mean, that's why nothing... You know, just look at the current Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Johnson is from Louisiana.
Yes.
And he, if you look at his voting record before he became Speaker, if you look at his writings, he's an attorney too. If you look at cases that he's argued, you would say, oh, he's a solid conservative. But what has happened to Mike Johnson since he's become Speaker and has a position of power? He's basically done a 180. He spoke out when he was on the Judiciary Committee against the FISA courts and having no warrants for spying on American citizens, which they just renewed like yesterday. So before he became Speaker, he's all saying that that's unconstitutional and we need to allow this to expire and not do this anymore. And then what does he do today or yesterday? He casts the deciding vote in favor of it, you know, and he's flip-flopped and done 180s on, like, pretty much every other thing.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity.
You ran a little bit over here, but, I do think that the CIA is a little more, big than they probably should be here, and I don't think that that's probably a good thing. But I'm gonna have to let you go here. We, like I said, we ran over our time. It was good talking to you, though.
I can tell. All
right, good talking, Matt. Take care.
I'm not even sure how to word it.
Alrighty. Sorry about that, everybody. We were having such a good conversation that I was not keeping track of time. Thanks for listening, and I hope everybody has a nice night. Thank you.
Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Do you think he needed her after that primary election?
Yes, and I think I go back to Abraham Lincoln.